Colombia's President Álvaro Uribe is visiting Washington today, seeking assurances that American military aid will continue. The U.S. currently spends about $10 million a week helping Colombia's armed forces battle drugs and terrorism. The aid program, called Plan Colombia, is due to expire next year. The Bush administration is sounding out Congress on ways to expand U.S. involvement. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The Bush administration wants lawmakers to increase a cap on U.S. military and civilian personnel serving in Colombia, a cap that lawmakers imposed to make sure the U.S. doesn't get too involved in the decades-old civil conflict there. Currently, 400 U.S. military personnel and 400 Americans working as private contractors can be in Colombia at a given time. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher confirmed that the U.S. may need more of a presence.
We're requesting the flexibility to use up to 800 military personnel and 600 U.S. citizen civilian contractors in support of Plan Colombia. We think that the Uribe administration has been dealing severe blows on the narco-terrorists and that an increase in the number of military and civilian contractors is needed to help them sustain the current high tempo of operations.
Critics fear this could be a slippery slope. Adam Isaacson of the Center for International Policy is cautioning Congress to maintain the cap.
This is the first really measurable, undeniable indicator that we're getting much more deeply involved in Colombia than we had planned when Plan Colombia was passed.
Initially, U.S. aid was geared for the war on drugs. 2 years ago, however, Congress gave the Bush administration broader authority to use military aid not only to help Colombia stand up counter-narcotics brigades, but also to fight three groups on the U.S. terrorism list, right-wing paramilitaries known as the AUC, and left-wing guerrilla groups, the ELN and FARC. Now the U.S. is training anti-terrorist units, providing intelligence, and helping to protect an oil pipeline partly owned by a U.S. company. Isaacson says before the U.S. sends more troops, it should look closely at the experience of U.S.-funded military contractors.
It's risky. 11 contractors have died since 1998 on duty in Colombia. Three of them have been hostages of the FARC guerrillas since February of last year, and there's really not much hope for getting them out right now. But what happens when it's contractors as opposed to U.S. personnel is that it doesn't spend a lot of time on the front pages of the newspapers, and nobody here in Washington is asking questions about, well, look at all these guys we're losing. Where are we headed in Colombia? What is this policy all about?
But retired Lieutenant General Daniel Christman is not worried about getting into a quagmire in Colombia. Christman co-authored a report on U.S. policy toward the Andes for the Council on Foreign Relations and argued that the U.S. programs to train the Colombian armed forces have been successful and need to be expanded. He's in favor of easing the cap on U.S. military personnel.
The cap was so rigidly applied that the trainers who were coming down for replacements had to stay on the ramp of the replacement aircraft until those they were replacing boarded the aircraft itself. So there was no opportunity for continuity in the military training.
As the U.S. looks to replace Plan Colombia, Christman adds, Washington policymakers should develop what he calls a guns and butter approach, helping Uribe with development aid as well as military training. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.